Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L.
So today I want to talk about one of those things that underlies just about every single marriage crisis, and in fact haunts every marriage. That's because it's something that resides in all of us, something that haunts us throughout the years, throughout the days, throughout the hours, and creeps up on us at night. And that is fears. Fears and insecurities. That's really the same kind of thing. And if you think about it, when somebody's talking about how they feel insecure, what they're actually naming is a fear underneath. You know, it's a description. The insecurity feeling that's going on within us is really about fears. And so what we're really talking about is the same kind of thing today, the fears and insecurities that are around every single relationship. Now, why is that important for us to talk about? Well, you may have noticed that a lot of times our fears cause us to react in ways that we later regret. I don't know if a lot of you guys watch any of the reality television out there, but a lot of times in the evenings, I love to watch reality TV, believe it or not, because it has such psychological lessons. You know, usually when I come home, either from a day of work or from exercising, you know, I pass through important emails and last minute messages that I need to send to other people. And then I just kind of start to wind down, and we normally have reality TV in the background. And the interesting thing about these reality shows is one of the things that creates the drama, and there's always drama around each of these shows, is fears. It's insecurities that are intentionally incited by the producers of the show. They put people in situations when they're competing for somebody else's attention, where there are interesting situations where they are trying to deal with establishing these relationships, and you see people's fears pop out. And then what you watch is the actions that are motivated by those fears that generally are counterproductive to getting anywhere useful in a relationship. Sometimes it makes people desperate for the relationship. Sometimes it makes people back away from the relationship. But whatever it is, however it happens, those insecurities are baked in us. And I don't think that's true with the rest of the animal kingdom. I don't think that other animals are worrying, you know, without something happening around them, that somebody might get away from them, that, you know, whoever's around them, maybe someone in their pack might go a little further away. I don't think that's the case. I may be wrong about that, but what I really think is going on is our human capacity for thoughts ends up getting us down sometimes into some bad streets, bad negative thought streets. Now, let me be very clear. I think the fact that we can think is an incredible thing. Of course, I can ask you what happened last year and you can kind of describe the last year in detail. And if I ask you what you're planning on doing tomorrow or the next day, you can tell me some things that you're planning on doing. Not that that's necessarily what will happen, but that you're planning on doing in the next 5 days because you're able to think things through. You're using a sequential thinking process where the thoughts are places you can extend the ideas around you. And that's pretty cool that we humans have these great ways of doing these ideas. The problem is that sometimes we don't use that capacity of thought in a creative way, but more of a limiting or destructive way because of our fears. The interesting thing about fears is how often those fears don't even happen, and yet they keep motivating our behavior today. In fact, I think there's a statistic out there that says 90 to 95% of our thoughts never happen. Imagine that. 90 to 95% of our thoughts never happen, yet we act upon them. We feel the emotions of those thoughts before they even happen. And most of them will not even happen. We fear and fear and fear and fear. And every now and then, just out of luck or just out of whatever, we're right about some fear. At which point we say, I knew I should be fearful about that. And that's that, you know, 5 to 10%. Now that leaks over into the relationships. And I want to be very clear that these fears don't necessarily have to do with anything that's going on in your relationship. They don't necessarily have anything to do, and they may not even be correlated directly or correctly with what's going on in your relationship. But they sure can compound the problems. In fact, it's our fears that usually accelerate a crisis. On a regular basis, I hear from people where the discussion between a couple starts with, hey, you know what? I'm really not happy. And that not happy conversation, instead of going into a way of how do we fix it, and ends up being, you know, I want out of this relationship. And what accelerates it to that I want out conversation is usually the fear response that ricochets back and forth between the couple. One person says, I'm not happy. The other says, oh, I can't believe this. How could you say that to me? I can't believe this is going on. Please, please don't do this. And the other person is, wait, you know, I'm really uncomfortable here. I think I need to pull away. And the other person says, no, don't, you know, stay. And that goes back and forth. They ricochet until the space between them is so great that one person says, I'm out of here, right? Or one person says, I'm not happy. And the other person says, well, you should be. I'm doing everything right. You know what? I'm not happy. And then they each blame each other, pointing to you. If you only did this, if you only did that, then I would be happier. Well, if you only did this and if you only did that, then I would be happier. Then we would both be happier. And suddenly, one person again pulls away and says, I'm out of here. Sometimes I watch it accelerate so fast that it happens in one conversation. One person simply wanted to have some changes in the relationship or have some awareness of a problem, and they end up separated and headed for divorce. That's the power of these fears and insecurities. That's the power how they are baked into us. So understand, first of all, that these fears may not have anything to do with your spouse, but they are instead internal to you. And by the way, your spouse's fears are internal to them. And we tend to be reacting to our own perceptions of what's going on with the other person. Not the reality necessarily, but the perceptions of the reality, because you're bringing it from your own internal meanings and beliefs that are all about you and nothing about the other person. And you think that that is the reality. It's actually your reality coming from somewhere internal. In fact, in our program, we deal heavily with our insecurities and our limiting beliefs because they are ours. And if we don't deal with those, we will continue to be triggered and make and have behaviors that do not serve us. And most of the behaviors are out of fear. So we need to deal with these insecurities and limiting beliefs. And in the program, we show you how to do that. We show you how to take care of your internal emotional baggage so that you're more light, so that you're less triggered and more emotionally resilient and have a more astute and powerful emotional intelligence so that you can deal with relationships, not just with your spouse, but with everybody in a very, very productive way that serves both of you, that enriches those relationships. But those fears that come out of insecurities tend to make us react in ways that do not serve us and also impose our reality on other people, hence confusing the situation more. And I call it reading the tea leaves. Reading the tea leaves is the idea, and you've probably heard that phrase. For me, it's a great phrase because when I was a teenager, I met an old gypsy woman. That was her term for herself, the old gypsy woman, who dressed the part of a fortune teller and believed that she could tell the fortunes of those who came to her. And the way she did it was with tea leaves. She had this old china cup. It was a chipped china cup. She'd put some tea in there and swirl around some hot water and take a big slurp and have the person who she was reading, you know, their fortune to also take a big slurp and then swirl it around and look at those tea leaves. And from the pattern and the tea leaves, she would then tell your fortune. Now, I have no idea if those fortunes ever came true. Probably just by luck, some of them did. And probably just by the way she stated them. They were in a way almost poetic. And so the person could interpret them the way really they wanted to. So she was reading tea leaves. She was looking for patterns in something that was unrelated to what was really going on. And that's what we do when we're reading tea leaves. We see an expression on our spouse's face. We read the tea leaves. We read a text and add in our own meaning, accents on that text or our own intonations on that text. And we read the tea leaves of what that means based on our own beliefs within us. Or we see some action with our spouse or some evidence that, and I put that in quotation, right? Evidence, something that we see that's out of the ordinary that we believe is evidence of something, and we read the tea leaves. And here's the interesting thing. The reading of the tea leaves both creates fear and is rooted in fear because it's, again, it's coming from those insecurities and limiting beliefs within you. If you're at a fearful place where you're concerned about your spouse kind of pulling away from you, the way you read the tea leaves is very different than if you were in a good situation. You know, a lot of people get these weird texts, weird emails that are suspect, but they're talking about how people, you know, they want to meet us and we're good looking or whatnot. And obviously it's spam, but it could be disruptive if you are in a bad place or if your spouse is in a bad place, because now they're reading the tea leaves. They're putting meaning into something that is meaningless. We're actually reading tea leaves based on what's going on around us and based on the fears that we have, in some ways based on what's going on in our relationship. So we're reading into things based on our internal fears. So I believe that we have two central fears that kind of create and weave all of those other fears around relationships. And that's the fear of abandonment and the fear of intimacy. The fear of abandonment is the fact that we're afraid we're going to lose relationships that we need, that we want to hold on to. We're all needing relationships. We grow up in relationships. We're born into a family. We're born into relationships in some way. We are born into a family situation where we find nurturing or not enough nurturing, and we grow through that. And then we begin to build our friendships and our peer groups and our relationships to authority and all kinds of other relationships in life, including finding somebody that you say, ah, this is the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And then we have this underlying fear that what if we lose that person? You know, sometimes if we haven't had enough of the connection through life, we have an abundance of that fear. Maybe we've been abandoned in our lifetime, you know, in some time in the past. And so it's built up a place where we have that as our ready, instant fear. Now, we all have some fear of abandonment because we all have the need for a relationship. And we want to hold on to the relationships that nurture us and make us feel connected. Now, kind of the mirror image of the fear of abandonment is the fear of intimacy. The fear of intimacy is really about losing ourselves to a relationship. What if the other person overwhelms us and sucks us dry of ourselves? Not only that, what if I just give myself away? What if I bond to this person so much that I diminish myself? I lose my identity. This is a struggle for people when they're getting married. They're afraid they're going to lose themselves to the relationship. They're going to lose their personal identity, their sense of self, their sense of who they are to the relationship. And we all have that fear too, partly because we've all been raised to kind of believe that we need to stand up on our own two feet and hold tough. So we all have these two fears, the fear of abandonment and the fear of intimacy. And sometimes those fears are triggered by things that are really happening, and sometimes they're not. The fear of intimacy might be triggered when somebody keeps demanding more and more time and attention. And the fear of abandonment might be triggered when somebody feels more like they're pulling away, becoming more and more distant. And it doesn't mean that that's the reality. We don't have to lose ourselves to a relationship, and we don't have to be at risk of losing a relationship. They are fears that are baked into us and our thought process. That's the important thing to begin to understand. These are thought constructs. Thoughts construct things that we've created in our thinking process that are independent of reality. That doesn't mean there's not something out there triggering them, but the same thing that might trigger a fear of abandonment or a fear of intimacy in one person doesn't trigger it in another person. And so they are independent of what's going on. They may be connected and related, but they're independent of that. Sometimes a spouse may be overwhelming, or a spouse may be exiting, but that doesn't mean there's anything at risk with us unless we allow that to be the case. Our response is the real question. What do we do with those pieces? That's the real place where we get stuck. And so I want to talk a little bit about how we manage that fear, because we've already stepped one place into that fear management, and that is just being able to call it what it is. It's called fear. Fear of intimacy or fear of abandonment. So the first step is to call it and be able to recognize the fear for what it is, so that we're not constantly reacting to that. So now we call it. The second thing is we challenge it to ask, what would happen if I really lost this person? What would I lose myself? What would I truly lose, if anything? Or am I still there as a core person with other relationships around me? Because even though we fear abandoned, in reality, we can all find other relationships and we will be okay on our own. Now, it's not a nice thing to be abandoned or to break a relationship. I know it hurts, but ultimately you will be able to reestablish other relationships, and the relationships you have are still established. And yes, you can be on your own. In fact, you were on your own before you met your spouse, and you were confident and you were independent. And that's the nature of being an adult, not a baby, right? And yes, we pull those fears from that point, but we as adults need to recognize that whatever happens in a relationship, we can be okay. And that's how we weather the storms of relationships. We also can challenge the feelings that we're going to lose ourselves in a relationship. We can challenge that and recognize that we have the capacity of standing on our own two feet, of being exactly who we need to be at any time, just by our choice. So we first call it. The second thing is we challenge it, which then allows us to calm ourselves. We calm ourselves by reminding ourselves, I'll be okay. In fact, in our program, we tell a lot of people that are in the midst or confronting separation or divorce to actually live through it. Take yourself through it. Go through the process of what that looks like. Feel those feelings. And one thing for sure that's going to happen while it is painful is that it's not going to be as bad as you think, and life will continue and you will be okay. No matter what happens, it'll be okay. You'll be yourself no matter what happens. I'll be myself. When we call a fear what it is and then challenge it, whether it's truly true, then we can calm ourselves by saying, you know what? I'll be okay. Basically, the counter of the fears. If you find yourself in a fear of abandonment, to recognize that you'll be okay on your own, you'll be okay as a person. You are okay already. You were okay before you had that relationship. Who you are is okay if you're feeling a fear of intimacy. To be able to calm yourself and say, hey, you know what? I know that they're trying to get close, and that doesn't mean that I have to merge into them. I don't have to lose myself into this. I can maintain myself. In fact, in order to truly enter a relationship, you have to maintain yourself. Otherwise, you're not bringing anything into the equation of a marriage. So once we've calmed ourselves, then we get to choose how we want to respond. We get to choose because when we have a fear of abandonment, our natural tendency is to grab on and hold on tight. The problem is when we grab and hold, we tend to trigger the other person's fear of intimacy. So when we grab and hold on and become needy, we have to recognize what can happen in that process, and we can choose whether we want to act that way. And we could also recognize that that's going to trigger a fear of intimacy in our partner, in our spouse, in our relationship. More than that, we have a fear of intimacy ourselves. We have a tendency to pull away, but we can choose not to. We can recognize we won't lose ourselves and choose to stay in connection, choose to stay in a relationship with a person and redefine ourselves. So as we have these fears, this relationship fears and insecurities, we need to recognize they come from an internal place, that they're related to these fears of abandonment and fears of intimacy that are really thought constructs that we don't necessarily have to chase down. And we don't necessarily have to impose or act upon. We can actually manage those fears by calling them what they are, recognizing the fear for what it is, challenging those fears, calming those fears, and then choosing our response. Not our reaction, but our response. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. One, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. Two, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. Three, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And four, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.